back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 296, as this week we bring you the first hour of WWF SummerSlam 1995. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined, as always, by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. Jim, are you ready to step into the Wayback Machine, head back to 1995, and face the heat?
Yeah, this is quite the pay-per-view. It's kind of a weird dichotomy of cartoon characters and a little change as far as improved work rate and things going in a more real direction. This is really kind of a hodgepodge. It's like a chocolate and vanilla all swirled together. There's a lot of weird vectors going on here.
Oh, yeah, and one thing you have to remember is this show is taking place 8 days before the Monday Night War starts in 1995. Eight
days.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, it's very weird. In fact, you know, it's SummerSlam had traditionally been a Monday night show. This is on the pay-per-view slot. It's Sunday night, August 27th, 1995. This is WWF in the 90s, so there is no Raw the next night because of, altogether now, the Westminster Dog Show. So there's not going to be any Raw on August 28th. There's not going to be any Raw on September 4th. And Nitro is going to start unopposed on September 4th, 1995, Labor Day. So just keep that in mind as we go through this. Let's see. I will briefly do our notes as to what's going on with the podcast itself. Jim, you'll be thrilled to know that we've made it back onto the Spotify charts for sports and recreation podcasts in the great nation of Costa Rica. As a matter of fact, we have set a new high in Costa Rica. We are the number 59 ranked sports and recreation podcast in Costa Rica, in addition to what we already have done in the U.S. and Canada this week. So thank you very much, Costa Rica. We appreciate it. And we look forward to hopefully getting popular in more countries and being able to cut that promo like you're going to see at the start of the WWF pay-per-view. You know, for over 50 years, in 8 languages, in 110 countries. Way back, playback.
We're getting there. I love Costa Rica. Costa Rica is very beautiful.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're the travel guy. You should know. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Also, I should point out that we are building up patreon.com/waybackplayback. You know, it's mostly ready now. Don't have all the episodes up yet, but this will be a place where you can go and hear me and Jim. The first 189 episodes were on Pro Wrestling Torch behind a paywall. By agreement with Pro Wrestling Torch, we're going to be putting them behind our paywall so you can get caught up on everything that you missed. You know, if you happen to have 189 hours of free time about now for some reason, Jim.
Hey, I can't think of a better thing to do with my time.
That's right. And we're going to come up with other stuff to put on it, you know, special bonuses. But $4.50, the idea is you're $4.50 a month. You will get ad-free episodes. You will get the episodes a day or two before everybody else, and we will fill in the archives. That's the deal. It's all very simple. You can pay more if you like. There's 3 tiers on there. We promise we won't mind. Jim, as you know, it's Mother's Day here in the United States and around the world. And I don't know about you, my mother sadly is no longer with us, but one of the things that she and many other mothers have said in the past is to make sure that you're always wearing clean underwear, because if you're in an accident, Jim, you want to, you know, you don't want the EMTs or doctors or what have you to see you with dirty underwear. On that note, let's talk about our sponsor, Manscaped.com. Manscaped has products for not only for shaving your intimate parts, they also have stuff to cover your foot odor, deodorant, cologne, many, they also have t-shirts and special shorts. They cover a lot of your manscaping needs.
Now look, everybody makes jokes about balls. Let's face it, balls are funny. That's all you can do about it.
Yeah.
But it's also, there's a serious aspect to it. As we're all in this quarantine, many of us are just letting our hair on the top of our head, on our skulls, grow out, and it looks terrible. But I'll tell you what, thanks to this manscaping, I can handle much of the other hair on my body. And like I said, sometimes it can be funny to talk about, but I'll tell you what, this stuff works. Oh my God, it's an incredible tool. It's practically idiot proof. And believe me, you're talking to an idiot here when it comes to this stuff. I talked about before, it's like, which scissors do I use? Well, I better use the bad ones because you don't want anyone else finding, you know, a pube on any of the good scissors.
No, you do not.
And we've all had the issue where maybe you make a little cut and there's a little bit of pain and stuff.
Yeah.
These things, like I said, they're idiot proof and they come with fantastic products. They've got deodorant, and it sounds funny to say that, but where you think about the general real estate and what part of the neighborhood all that stuff is in, it makes perfect sense. Plus, there's toner. You know, we all take care of ourselves, and maybe you're not that flexible and you can't get down there, but oftentimes someone else might be down there, and you want to make a good impression on whomever that person might be. So, yeah, it's funny. I'll tell you what, this stuff works. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer, the Lawnmower 3.0, a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent accidents. It's premium, high-quality stuff. The battery will last up to 90 minutes. Hopefully, you won't need 90 minutes, but it's good to know that it's there if you need it.
I'm not even playing, Pat. I wish these people would now work on some kind of foolproof shaver for the top of my head so I could give myself a decent haircut in between while we're dealing with this whole quarantine thing. I honestly wish, I hope they're working on it right now.
That would be fantastic because they have a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology on the lawnmower. And it would be nice if they could, work on other shaving products. That would be great. They have a charging stand with a convenient charging dock powered by USB, which is what everybody should have these days for electric tools. And you should definitely try to experience it firsthand for yourself. And you can get 20% off and free shipping on any of their products if you use the code WAYBACK at manscaped.com. I went to manscaped.com. I loaded the promo code WAYBACK. 20% off popped right off there. Right, you can see it on the screen. You'll love it. Your balls will thank you, Jim. It's manscaped.com. Remember, 20% off and free shipping using the promo code WAYBACK. All right, so let's get back down to business. Again, August 27th, 1995, Pittsburgh Civic Arena, otherwise known as the Igloo, the home of the Pittsburgh Penguins. 18,062 fans in attendance, of which 17,000 approximately were paid. That is an attendance record for the Igloo, and it broke the record, whatever record that WCW did when they ran that arena at some point, back when Dusty Rhodes was in charge. Let's see here. The previous shows for the WWF had the week off before SummerSlam, which is nice. August 19th was a Saturday. And WWF ran two shows on August 19th, 1995. Business was not great in 1995. Again, we'll point that out. So the A show, Jim, was at the Palace of Auburn Hills, Michigan, in front of a whopping 2,000 people. And that's a
wow.
That's a big building. On that show, it was the WWF Tag Team Champions Owen Hart and Yokozuna defeating the Allied Powers of Lex Luger and Davey Boy Smith when Davey Boy walked out on Lex Luger. And yes, Davey Boy has turned heel, and it's already played out on WWF television at this point. And the main event, Jim, the tag team of WWF champion Diesel and Intercontinental champion Shawn Michaels defeated Mabel and Mo, Men on a Mission.
Only 2,000 people for that show, and I'm guessing watching The Last Dance on ESPN right now, it's not because people did not like Isaiah Thomas.
No, Isaiah Thomas had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, perfect.
The B show, no attendance is given, but it's in Sherbrooke, Quebec. And on the B show, it was the WWF Women's Champion Alundra Blaze defeating Bertha Faye. And in the main event, The Undertaker defeated Kama in a casket match. Kama, K-A-M-A, Kama Mustafa, better known as Hall of Famer The Godfather, or Papa Shango, or yeah, whatever you want to call him. Yep, that was a casket match between two Hall of Famers, Jim.
Yeah, and we'll see that in a couple of weeks on this show.
Yeah, actually, we will. That should be next week, in fact. So
both those matches.
Yeah, we will. We will see both those matches. And both those matches will take place next week on episode 297. Let's see. WCW had a show on Saturday night, August 26th. At the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas, Nevada, there were 2,000 people in attendance, but fortunately it was a sold show, so they made money anyway. Let's see. Yes, on that show it was the United States champion Sting defeating Ming, or Haku if you want to call him that, by over-the-top rope disqualification. And in the main event, it was Randy Savage pinning Ric Flair by reverse decision. Flair wins, and you might have seen that. You might have seen the finish before at several house shows. Flair wins with the brass knucks. The referee sees the brass knucks, starts the match over, and Randy Savage wins.
I'm going to guess Ric Flair tucks them under his arm, and then they raise his arm, and they fall out.
Exactly. That's what it was.
How did I know that?
You're amazing, Jim. That's how you know that.
God, you think Ric Flair would learn by now?
Yeah,
he's supposed to be the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I know. 22 years in the business at this point, at 95, and yeah, you'd think he would have picked up on it by now.
Yeah, the greatest of all time, the worst at hiding brass knuckles.
Yes. Also, sometime on this week's swing, they did a sold show, and I forget where it was, but it was promoted by Bob Eubanks. Yes.
The game show?
Yes, that Bob Eubanks. Yes.
Wow.
I'll have to go back and look up the exact circumstances, but it's pretty impressive.
So was it a swing with Sting and Ming?
Hey, that's a good one.
By the way, that's my favorite Dr. Seuss book.
Swing with Sting and Ming?
Yeah, The Swing with Sting and Ming. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it didn't sell as well as some of the others, but
no.
Solid rhymes in that one.
Yeah, I love that one.
Okay. Meanwhile,
both
over...
what he did with Buck Zumoff, which is Would You, Could You with a Goat, but that's another...
No, that's not... Yeah. All right. Meanwhile, ECW ran the ECW Arena on Saturday night, August the 26th. And on that show, in the final ECW match for both wrestlers, Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko go 2 out of 3 falls. They do a double pin in the third and final fall, and they say farewell.
Did Bob Eubanks, did he promote that show?
No, he did not. He did not promote the ECW Arena. But that was not the main event at the ECW Arena. The main event was a 6-man tag on which Mikey Whipwreck and the Public Enemy lose to ECW Heavyweight Champion The Sandman and his tag team partners New Jack and Mustafa, The Gangstas.
Do you think New Jack and The Gangstas, they ever use the term whoopee?
Don't think Bob Eubanks has ever interviewed either of them, but that would be a hell of a promo.
Yeah, just checking.
New Jack, where's the strangest place you and Mrs. New Jack have ever made whoopee? Yeah, that's. I'm not going to finish that sentence, although Johnny Fairplay would. Yeah. All right. So...
Where's the strangest place you've ever made your clothes?
Yes. All right. Meanwhile, Smoky Mountain Wrestling had a Saturday night show in Morristown, Tennessee, which drew 400 people, and Smoky Mountain is on its last legs as well. On that show, it was the legendary tag team duo of Terry Gordy and Tommy Rich defeating Boo Bradley and the Mongolian Stomper, and Smoky Mountain champion Brad Armstrong beat Buddy Landell 2 out of 3 falls.
You probably saw a lot of good wrestling, just not a lot of star power, but yeah, some good wrestling for sure.
Yeah, I think they close out like two. It's in less than 3 months that they're done, and that was pretty sad. Meanwhile, the USWA had their Monday night show on August the 21st at the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis. On that show, the USWA Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies, fought PG-13. J.C. Ice and Wolfie D, to a no contest. This resulted in the USWA tag team titles being held up, and it was announced that a one-night tournament would take place on August 28th, the night after the show. And in the main event of this show, it was the USWA Unified World Heavyweight Champion Jerry Lawler defeating Tracy Smothers. So this show, Jim, drew a whopping 1,400 at the Mid-South Coliseum.
Yeah, we're like about a year away. It was 1996 when they finally stopped running regular shows at the Mid-South Coliseum.
And so probably the reason is, from this day forward, August 22nd, to the end of their run at the Mid-South Coliseum, 1,400 was the highest they drew.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett comes back. The Road Dog comes back. I mean, they kept bringing in guys from the WWF. Ahmed Johnson came in. Mabel came in. Yeah, Bret Hart. It didn't matter. Nothing worked. The Mid-South Coliseum was done. So.
Well, and also when you bring in guys like Bret Hart or Owen Hart, it sets an expectation for the fans. Well, if Bret Hart isn't on this show, well, then I don't want to go see this show because these are just the local nobodies.
Local yokels. I'll wait until the big show. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And don't get me wrong. A lot of the roster is very, very talented. So I'm not disparaging anybody.
Yeah, and that's kind of the same thing that happened with Smoky Mountain Wrestling too. So.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Meanwhile, All Japan Wrestling Friday, August 27th in Koshiwazaki drew 2,450, which is, well, more than any of this crap that we were talking about. On that show, it was the team of Stan Hansen and Bobby Duncan Jr. defeating the Patriot and the Eagle. The Eagle's Jackie Fulton, right?
Yeah.
Bill Wilkes and Jackie Fulton. And the main event, Ogawa, Kawada, and Akira Tao defeat Misawa, Akiyama, and Kenta Kobashi in a six-man tag. That one might have been good.
Not bad. Well, I mean, it's a house show, but yeah, I'm sure it's still excellent.
I'm sure somebody's got it somewhere. Okay. So now,
tell me that one.
So now that we've got all that good stuff out of the way, let's go to SummerSlam 95 on the WWE Network. And I am at 0 minutes and 0 seconds, and I am in front of a blank screen, Jim.
Yes, I'm at zero. I've got the first WWF logo, but I'll pause, but I'm still at zero.
Zero is the important thing. Okay. So now that we're all zeroed in, we're going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Yep. And here we go. I love this intro, by the way.
You know, so many of the old graphics still hold up really well.
Yep. Now, here is Todd Pettengill, New York DJ, who is still working for WWF at this point, doing his best impression of the Vince McMahon, intro voice.
Yeah, Todd Pettengill, not a voice guy. He's kind of bright and sunny and more of a personality guy. Mm-hmm. But here he is trying to do the attitude voice.
Yeah. Okay, so and the main event, of course, is Diesel, the champion, against the King of the Ring, Mabel.
Well, there's some really scripted promo stuff from Diesel.
Yep, and tonight it's the match, that first meeting that everybody's been waiting for. Bret the Hitman Hart taking on Dr. Isaac Yankem, DDS.
The mayor, Glenn Jacobs.
Yes. No truth to the rumor that he taught Britt Baker, by the way. But, yeah.
Is Britt Baker a dentist?
I'd heard that, yes. Oh, yeah, that is comma choke-slamming Shane McMahon, yes. You just did see that. Undertaker and comma casket match. Comma stole the Undertaker's chain, stole the Undertaker's urn and melted it down into a gold chain. That's what set this up. And yes, ladder match 2, Electric Boogaloo between Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels. Yeah. Which is another story in and of itself, but
we'll get to all of this, but you can kind of see there's a dynamic here. You have like a wrestler against say a dentist or a wrestler against a king. There's sort of this weird matchup as far as a character against a more realistic personality.
Yes, there is. So here we go.
It's like reality versus cartoon.
The Stridex blimp.
Yes.
And we're live in Pittsburgh, and it's full. I mean, that part is no lie. Yeah. The largest...
Well, I mean, the largest what?
Largest crowd in the history of the Pittsburgh Civic Arena, according to Vince. And it's an accurate attendance number as far as I know, which is weird, but okay.
Well, part of it is they don't have the big set right now. They just have the entrance that goes to the doorway. Mm-hmm. So that leaves room for more fans.
Yes. Now I should point out as one of the big Vince and Jerry are doing the are announcing the show, as one of the moves for the pending Monday Night War, Jerry Lawler is to be taken off of Raw. And this is in part also so that he can, work Monday nights at the Mid-South Coliseum. So this both sides agreed on this. And the Monday Night Raw broadcast team, starting at the next Raw, is supposed to be Vince McMahon and Doc Hendricks. And Jim Ross taken off of all commentary at the moment. Great idea. Oh, and this guy. That's Shane Douglas.
It's kind of remarkable because we saw him recently as a kid and how young he looks. And now here he is as a younger adult. The transformation of Shane Douglas as he gets older, he's like unrecognizable in each stage of his life, like unlike anybody I think I've ever seen.
Yes. But I mean, does that guy look like a potential main event wrestler to you in that gear?
We'll see. We'll see more of it.
Yeah, we will. Now, here's the good news. This is our opening match. And if you want to get off to a hot start on a WWF pay-per-view, you could do a whole lot worse than starting with the 1-2-3 Kid, Sean Waltman.
No, absolutely. Now, is he a heel or a babyface here?
He is a babyface at this moment.
Yeah.
And that's Tim White, your referee. There he goes. All right, and his opponent is a guy who's a heel who is in the middle of turning babyface. All right, so here we go at the Stridex entranceway.
Yeah, so that tells you who they're marketing to here, or who they think they're marketing to.
Yeah. Yes. The White Angel, Hakushi, he no longer has a manager. And, yes, he has had some problems earlier this weekend. Let's check out the Action Zone, where Hakushi is fighting Barry Horowitz, and Chris Candido's attempt to help him backfires. And Barry Horowitz beats Hakushi. Yep. Ah, Barry Horowitz. So, this is
we'll get into Barry Horowitz later.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, he is this hour's main event. So, yes.
So, Jinsei Shinzaki, I guess, probably best associated with Michinoku Pro. I believe he's still the president of Michinoku Pro. That's what ECW Rob Zombie guy is there.
Yes. Well, it's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is reasonably close by. So, yeah.
Well, I thought that Hakushi would do a would be a much more significant presence in the WWE when he arrived. Mm. I thought at the time he was kind of signaling, you know, you had Shawn Michaels, you had the 1-2-3 Kid, and now you were adding him. I thought that he was going to be, you know, one of the straws that stirred the exciting match, work rate, whatever you want to call it, stir that drink, and... Yeah. The fact that he's dealing with Barry Horowitz and Skip would say, no, that's not the case at all.
All right, but it does make for a very exciting opening match.
It can, yes.
Yes, it can. All right, but yeah, just, you know, just showing Hakushi losing to Barry Horowitz as part of the package here indicates that perhaps this opening match isn't something you should take too awful seriously. But yeah, here we are. All right, so, yeah.
You know, Jinsei Shinzaki looks remarkably the same still at his age.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him in over in Japan in January, and then I've seen him in a few other things, but should the whole convention thing come back, you know, given the kind of time frame of everything, I wouldn't be surprised if there are people who were kids at this time frame that wouldn't want a picture with Hakushi. It might be somebody who hasn't made all the rounds yet.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If we ever get back to conventions and you know, WrestleMania weekends, yeah, I can see him making the rounds if he wants to, you know.
Yeah, or maybe I don't know. Maybe that time's passed. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Wrestling fans, the people who still follow wrestling seem to remember and appreciate people from 20 and 30 years ago. So. Plus, I mean, as we've seen on previous episode, Hakushi, you know, original ECW, teaming up with Hayabusa at Heatwave 98. All right, so here we are. And let's see. Oh, yeah. Everything else happening with WWF right now. Yeah, there's all sorts of rumors going on in the wrestling press about what we're going to get with the start of the Monday Night Wars. Sabu has signed, at least temporarily, with WCW, and is going to be doing stuff with them, at least through Halloween Havoc.
Oh, he's going to be pushed to the top of the card. Watch out.
Oh, yeah, Sabu. he's amazing.
He's going to make a huge difference in this Monday Night War.
Absolutely. Let's see. Now, you got to remember, also, Raw's average rating for the year 1995, every Monday night, their average rating 3.2, which, just by way of reference, slightly higher than it is now. And the word is out that a former WCW champion will be returning for the Monday Night Wars to help Team WCW, and that man, of course, is Ron Simmons. Wait, what? Yep, yeah. The rumor started off that Ron Simmons is coming back, and spoiler, he doesn't, at least not in 19. Actually, I don't think he ever does. He ends up signing with WWF in 96. Let's see. Dave Meltzer. Yep. Dave Meltzer is in the Observer writing about the rumors that Lex Luger is going to jump to WCW, and Dave, going into the show, does not see it happening because, A, Lex Luger's contract is supposedly up in October, and not now, and B, you know, Eric Bischoff has let it be known that he's not willing to spend big money on Lex Luger. So, yet somehow they managed to work around both of those.
I mean, yeah, and Lex Luger was supposed to be on this show. He and the Bulldog were supposed to be tag team or something. He was supposed to be on the show. I think they revamped the tag team match or something appear on this show.
Yeah, they actually removed the tag title match from the show. So, yep, he's not there. Although there is a storyline involving the tag team titles that we'll learn about 2 weeks from now. And by the way, Jim, yeah, happy Mother's Day and happy Money in the Bank Day.
Yes, climb the corporate ladder, whatever that means.
Yep.
All of the wackiness that's going to be happening in the building.
Yes, that's what everybody wants, a wacky match in an office building.
I imagine that it'll be wacky at first and then kind of be more serious by the time it makes up to the top, and then... And then probably wacky again because someone will get pushed off the top, or Rey Mysterio will jump off and jump on another building and jump back, or some crazy stuff like that. And something with AJ Styles probably, and who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? That's the question.
But it's going to be cinematic. It's like, is it going to be more wrestling like we saw at the NXT cinematic match? Or is it going to be more Firefly Funhouse like we saw at WrestleMania? Probably at times both, I would imagine. Like, well, they'll probably open up doors and there'll be wackiness inside the doors or different offices.
I would certainly hope so. And I can't wait to cover it when we do Way Back Playback episode 1105 in 2035 or whatever.
I'll be dead by then, but that's okay.
No, you won't.
You and Mary can be doing that, the father-daughter wrestling team.
I thought you were going to transfer your consciousness to the internet or something, so we could do this.
Yeah, who'd want that? There's enough depravity there anyway.
That's fair. All right. Let's see.
Do we know, are these stick-on tattoos? Did someone just take semi-permanent ink and just write on them each time? Do we know how Hakushi did this?
Wait, so he doesn't actually have all those tattoos? Gee, that's awkward.
He has a heck of a makeup job otherwise, then.
Yeah. Okay, so I believe that they were stick-on tattoos. Well, no, not stick-on. I think it's the makeup job. And you're gonna make me look that up. Here we go. So
it's a lot of time.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the commitment that WWE had to aesthetics, way more so than WCW ever did.
Right. Yeah. Well, WCW would try something like that and screw it up. At least, you know.
You'd see it one time and then never again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Somebody jumping off the second rope. Yeah, that was... That was exciting back then.
Look at the crowd now. The crowd is into it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the opening match, so, you know, you've got a good shot right from there. So that's it. Okay. I think it's... Okay. Supposedly it's paint, but... I mean, if it's paint, wouldn't it start coming off during the match?
Well, maybe it needs some sort of special alcohol or something to take it off.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Hey! Flying Space Tiger Drop or something like that. I don't remember the exact
name. Works for me.
Yep. And Sean Waltman's like, yeah, that was cool, man.
Sasuke Special?
Yeah, okay. That could be it, too.
Sean Waltman did a great job of selling for Hakushi and doing everything.
Oh, yeah. He's probably happy to be working with Hakushi.
Isn't that pretty safe?
Yep. Oh.
The crowd, they're loving this.
Yeah. Yeah, they decided to turn him babyface because people were cheering him because he was good, you know.
Yeah, no, it's different. It's different than what a lot of people were doing in this time frame.
Right. But, I mean, you know, yeah, Hakushi comes in right out of the gate. He's fee, gets the pay-per-view, you know, match with Bret Hart, which was, you know, very good. It wasn't anything like what you'd see today. Anyway.
Yeah, I really thought that he would have a more distinguished career and a better win-loss record in WWE, but
yeah,
it just didn't work out that way.
Nope. Nope, I'm sure Ultimo Dragon thought that, and you know, but yeah, there's
yeah, that's true.
Know,
yeah,
Sin Cara, you know, I mean,
yeah,
yeah. Anyway. All right, hey. Well, I mean, they, you know, I don't remember them feuding for any length of time, but they seem to mesh well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you want. All right.
You know, I was going through, as I was trying to find this on the network, going through the pay-per-views in 1995, I was like,
right.
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of in-your-houses.
Oh, yeah. During well, well, the first one, they gave away a house.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't on any of the other ones. So, but it was, yeah, I mean, the In Your Houses were a, you know, well, we've covered enough of them. They were a fun experiment. It wouldn't be the worst, you know, it wasn't the worst idea in the world to have the 2-hour, you know, discount priced pay-per-view.
No, it makes sense on paper.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Go.
Hakushi's your winner. And people have been given permission to cheer for him.
I mean, 1-2-3 Kid is a star. I mean, he's not like a top star, but he's a star.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Raw video game.
Yep, he was. And soon he'd be teaming with Barry Horowitz. So, yeah. I'm guessing he decided to go back to Japan somewhere around after that. All right.
Yeah, didn't he? Yeah, he left pretty abruptly. Was it? Did he like something with Bradshaw or something? I want to say he got like branded or something, and he was like humiliated. So that he probably just his contract ran out.
Let's see. Well, they let's see. Now I remember they. It's around this time that Brian Clark, Adam Bomb quit when they asked him to. You know, he wouldn't re-sign, and they asked him to put over Henry Godwin in 30 seconds. So. Go figure. Oh, here's Doc Hendricks.
I would totally want him to be my announce guy.
Yeah, hey! Hey, Doc Hendricks here, everybody! Yeah. I mean, it's not like Michael Hayes hasn't been an announcer before, but...
Right. Yeah. But he's not going to be Michael Hayes. He's Michael Hayes doing this.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, if you listen to, like, Michael Hayes in WCW in, like, 89 and stuff, when he was... Michael Hayes or UWF with Jim Ross, he does a pretty good job with some stuff, but he's smart enough to know that's not what WWE wants him to do, so he's doing the best he can doing this act.
Mm. Okay. Oh, okay, hold on. Oh, somebody has a... Okay, hold on. Somebody has an answer on that. Hold on. Let's see here. Oh, the wonders of the internet. All right, but let's... Oh, we're seeing... by the way, happy 25 years of Triple H, because here he is. This is his pay-per-view debut.
Right.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
The Greenwich Blue Blood. Yes. Connecticut Blue Blood.
Apparently it was originally pitched to him as Reginald Helmsley, but they decided that the Triple H is... Sonny's mom's in the crowd. Jeez. I don't know that.
Look at her. She looks great.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because you had Leona Helmsley and then the Hearst newspapers.
Yep.
I mean, it really... WWE is excellent at coming up with names for the most part. Sure, they miss some, but really, when you look at the names they come up with, they're pretty genius, and this is one of them.
Yep. Yep. Leona Helmsley, big in the news. Certainly. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right, so, let's see. Hakushi's tattoos were stenciled on. Let's see. You put on the guy's body, spray the paint on, and remove the fabric.
Huh?
Okay, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So, yep. But yeah, they have, you know, he's come over from WCW. They have plans for him.
Well, no, it was really smart. I mean, he was going to be one of the Blue Bloods tag team in WCW, and he had aspirations to be a singles guy.
Yeah.
He's a Walter Kowalski student, so, I mean, Kowalski, you know, bigger with WWE. No, I mean, he made the right decision. There's no one has ever questioned.
No. Oh, it's Bob Sparkplug Holly.
There we go.
Part of the influence, yeah, the WWF racing team.
And this is a great contrast for the, in Vince McMahon's mind, where you have the rich snob, the upper class, taking on, you know, the NASCAR guy or the race car guy, which is
right.
Much more of a populist representation.
Yeah. Yes, it was. And Bob Holly, actual race car driver, among his other skills.
And a mechanic, yeah. He was getting more money as a mechanic than WWE.
Yes. All right, so here we go. Bob Holly and Triple H, and then two guys who wound up lasting a while with the company. I mean, Bob didn't last quite as long as Hunter did, but especially since
longer than expected.
Yep.
I mean, you mentioned Adam Baum leaving quickly. You know, you'll see a lot of people that are left rather abruptly. And looking at Bob Holly in this gear, you know, first he was Thurman Sparky Plug, and then suddenly Bob Sparkplug Holly. You would have guessed, given this outfit and the direction the company would take, that he would, you know, go by the wayside eventually. No, and the fact that he lasted, what, to like 2010 or something? He lasted a very long time.
Managed to reinvent himself.
And got over. I mean, he was popular during the Attitude Era.
You tell the big show. The big shot is looking for him. Great stuff. All right, prancing and mincing and all that stuff. There we go. Yeah. So when Hunter Hearst Helmsley was not a Blue Blood, that opened the door for the Blue Bloods team of Steven Regal and Bobby Eaton.
Which is a great idea. That was kind of funny.
It was very funny, yeah. There were not a lot of highlights in WCW at this stage, and Regal and Bobby Eaton, you know, working together was one of them. So.
And they did kind of a My Fair Lady thing, trying to get Bobby up to speed with being, you know, a Blue Blood and having all of his prim and proper attitude. And, you know, that was some fun stuff.
Yes, it was. All right. Here we go. Oh! Nope, we're not doing the Spinebuster yet.
I could be wrong, but I remember in my life anyway, in 1995, that mullets had been gone for quite a while.
You are correct, sir. Except in pro wrestling.
That says there's a lot of them here.
Yeah. On the show, yeah, but not as many in the crowd as, you know, you would see at an earlier point.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like 1995. Everyone pretty much had shorter hair, as I recall.
Excuse me, did that wrong. Jerry Lawler saying that NASCAR is not a sport. That's,
You know, NASCAR's had its own ratings problems and attendance issues and things.
Well, that's true.
I couldn't tell you why, but I just know that it has. I don't know what the... There's the bow. That was supposed to be his trademark.
Hey! Hey, you're the man! Oh, I can't. All right. I mean, the pace has slowed down a little bit, but this is, you know, this is basic. We're trying to get Hunter over.
Yeah, this is introducing this character. This is his first match on pay-per-view. This is character development as much as it is a match. Mm-hmm. You got your spots here. This is his knee drop. This was the thing he did all the time. Mm-hmm. The bow, you know, and will likely end with his finisher. So, you know, this is, again, we're, yeah, he's wrestling, but he's also kind of giving his attitude. Uh-oh, the British Bulldog's here.
Davey Boy Smith, who turned on Diesel and attacked him on Raw 6 days previous, which they were talking about, you know, while this match was going on. Okay.
Will this have an effect on the main event?
I don't know. But I don't know, but actually adding anything of interest to the main event's got to be a positive at this point. Up. Ah, yes. You know, there just aren't enough abdominal stretch reversal spots in 2020.
No, there just aren't.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Holly's book was really good, I thought.
Yes,
I
think a lot of very good book.
Yeah.
Good read.
Yeah, he talks a lot about Hunter in the book, too, as a matter of fact. That's it's kind of funny that this match.
Mm-hmm. There we go. All right. Yay.
Yeah, well, I didn't... I mean, obviously, I didn't know Bob Holly when he debuted in WWE, so...
Right.
When they said he could drive and things, it's like, you know, you don't...
Yeah, sure. It's like, yeah, sure. You know, and right. T.L. Hopper's a real plumber, and yeah, come on,
exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so now
and,
we have.
And Glenn Jacobs is a real dentist. You know.
Yeah,
he could drive.
Background.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Paul Bearer was a real you know, actually worked in a mortuary for a while. So.
Yeah, I never believed that either, but yeah, that was true.
That was true. Well, they didn't actually have, but see, I mean, Bob Holly actually drove in races with a WWF car. They didn't have Paul Bearer performing actual funerals at the WWF funeral parlor. Although that would have been a hell of a tie-in.
Does dead serious? Does WWE do they have a? I would surprise. They should like Kiss does have like a line of coffins and things. I mean, as morbid as it sounds,
Undertaker coffins, yeah.
People would probably buy them, seriously.
Yeah.
Some sort of license.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I want to be buried in an Undertaker coffin.
Bet there are people who would be, and I'm not morbid. I'm just saying for...
Yeah.
Like, who knows? But maybe given Young Deaths or whatever, some association, they don't want it.
Yeah, perhaps not. But if you offered a WWE funeral with, you know, with pyro and you know, an Undertaker themed coffin, you might be able to get somewhere with that.
Why not?
Get some guys dressed up as druids to be the pallbearers.
Well, a lot of these things you could probably just get off Pinterest. Those things are something.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Why is he? It's the pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
All the things the change with Triple H, he kept the finisher. They would change his music a couple times, several dozen times. Let's be careful here.
Yeah, I never heard the Lemmy version of this music. They never did that, did they? Mm. No, I guess not.
Well,
too bad we can't do that.
I don't know. There's no lyrics, though. Oh, yesterday the War on the Water happened in Pittsburgh. It's WWF versus the Firemen. Yay.
That's right out front of three. Is that three? That's for three over stadium.
Three stadium, yeah. Well, yeah. It used to be, yeah.
Right.
Tom Murphy, the mayor of Pittsburgh. And Bam Bam Bigelow, not the mayor of Pittsburgh. Captaining the teams. There we go.
Savio Vega, Mabel, is that Henry Godwin? Yeah. They got big boys out there for that.
So it's a tug of war. Okay.
Now, do people actually go in the water then? Boy, that seems like you're going to get booed if you win. If WWE guys
pull the firefighters in the water? I mean, it's not a big drop. You got to jump. Okay,
well, that's fine. You can just be happy then and, okay, we're jumping in, do a flip, okay.
Yeah.
Because obviously the firefighters are the baby faces, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on, WWF, they didn't even send out Yokozuna, for crying out loud. Yeah. All right, here we go. So it's the Harris boys, Jacob and Eli, or Ron and Don, or Eli and Jacob Blue with Dutch Mantel. Yep. There we go.
Skull and creative control.
Yep. Let's check the tattoos. I don't see any Nazi tattoos.
Yeah, that looks like the most Aryan trellis I think I've ever seen. I think those are like leaves going up a ladder. What are those?
I don't know what those are supposed to be. And there's your boy and the smoking guns, Billy and Bart, or the smoking bums as they call them. Jeez. That's a harsh crowd. Oh man, woo! That's okay. Sonny's mom's into them.
Yeah. She's very dressed up for SummerSlam.
Oh well, SummerSlam was a big thing.
Yeah. I guess so.
It's probably the highlight of the social season in Pittsburgh. I'm waiting for Pittsburgh's favorite son, Kurt Angle, to show up.
He's getting ready for the Olympics.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Okay.
Yeah. And at this point, he doesn't have a broken freaking neck either. That's how long ago this is.
Yes.
Think about that.
Right. Well, you know who is getting in. You know who is getting in good shape, and even if it's not for the Olympics. That's our man Ken of Ken and Tech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine, proud sponsor of this show. Ken is getting ready for the busy summer season in Bangor, Maine, and I know that while a lot of the country is locked down, people still need their pets taken care of, and that's why people in the Bangor, Maine area count on Ken to take care of their pets. Ken is licensed, bonded, highly trained. Knows pet CPR, a fantastic photographer, and a vegan bodybuilder, because I mean, which comes in handy because you never know when you'll need extra muscle power to help deal with a large dog.
You know, I can't speak to what Ken's clients have going on with the current situation, but
no.
You know, a lot of people working from home, maybe they're too busy. You're busy maybe homeschooling your kids, which takes a lot of time mm-hmm. and effort.
Oh gosh,
because of priorities and things, you don't necessarily have that extra time to go and walk your pets. Or maybe you're immunocompromised and you don't feel comfortable at this point taking that risk, no matter how big the risk may or may not be. And regardless of what Ken's clients, their situation is, Ken is there for them. He's been walking Nugget. He's been walking Patriot. He's been taking out a lot of his regular clients. And you can see all of it at his social on the Facebook at Ken and Tech's Pet Care, also at Ken and Tech on Instagram and on Twitter. But find everything out at KenandTech.com.
That's right, KenandTech.com for the website, KenandTech for the Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And Ken's so good, he's even filled in for Jim on this show. He does it all. All right, there we go. Boy, that's quite a double team. So, Jerry Lawler, while this is going on, Jerry Lawler is making fun of the smoking guns for being dressed up as cowboys because, as Jerry said, he hates wrestlers who wear silly costumes. Ba-dum-ba.
Oh, Jerry Lawler and his wacky irony.
Yes, I know.
You know, as all of us have bad haircuts right now, what's remarkable to me is that right there in the ring right there, that's Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
I would never recognize it with the mustache and the mullet and the perm.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
That does not look like Billy Gunn.
He looks like
at all.
He looks like he's auditioning for Deadwood, for crying out loud.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like, is that a young Sam Elliott? Because that does I can recognize Bart Gunn. He's recognized
Bart Gunn's Bart Gunn. Yeah.
Not at all. No. Don't even not even.
Right.
So, you know, the Harris twins, they debuted in Memphis.
Uh-huh.
God, I want, like, early 90s, God, maybe even farther back. Like, but they, when they debuted, they're just these tall guys, and they have short hair, and it's like bleach blonde, kind of, and just like parted down the middle. They're very clean cut. It's remarkable. And they were, was it friends with, is it Sawyer Brown? I'm pretty sure, is that the band?
Yeah, I think band. So, yeah.
Like, they did security for them, and Sawyer Brown, I think, paid for their training and stuff. But you can go back at old Memphis and talk about someone who doesn't look even remotely the same. The way they look now, even here in 1995, is so different from when they started.
Oh yeah, and they were better known at this point as the Bruise Brothers, Bruise, which they, you know, they were doing their Bruiser, their doing their best Bruiser Brody impressions here, and they did after this they went back to ECW where they did pretty well for a while. Then the Bruise Brothers joined WCW, where, you know, they just sort of they were just sort of part of the mid-card shuffle until Vince Russo came in, recognized that they were ex-WWF guys, and made them shave their heads and made them Creative Control.
They're former Pacific Northwest Tag Team Champions.
Oh, yeah.
They came from Memphis to Portland, and according to the Grappler, that in his mind, and he, what he said is, when they came to Portland, they did not know how to work. Obviously, they'd done matches and things in Memphis. I'm not exactly sure if that means that maybe they just had like a stacked match that they did each and every time, and they didn't know a lot of intricacies, the ins and outs of wrestling, shall we say. But he said that he had to basically retrain them. And you talk about them being in the mid-card shuffle. I think a lot of people expected that, when you look like twin Bruiser Brodies here, I think a lot of people expected that they would do really well in WWE. And maybe instead of the Smoking Guns, it would have been the Bruise Brothers who got split up at some point, and maybe one of them got a major singles run. But that did not happen.
Didn't they ever work
with Shawn Michaels in WWE?
They had a run-in with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which probably led... which might have led to some issues on...
But, I mean, boom, the fact that the Smoking Guns, not exactly hot right here, in the Bruise, the Jacob and Eli Blue, is kind of an indication to fans that maybe these guys aren't up to snuff.
Okay, well, that lady had a mullet, so there was that's one.
Oh, there's definitely some mullets in the crowd, but just there's like a lot more than I remember.
Right. So, yeah, Smoking Guns, and they were, you know, Smoking Guns were holding the tag titles on and off for a few years there. They were sort of in the mix. They never got below mid card as a tag team. Because, you know, I mean, they had tag teams, but nobody really saw them as potential single stars at this moment. That would change in '96, I think.
And there they are, the former IWF tag team champions.
From
Eddie Mansfield's Florida promotion.
All right, and now the legendary feud between Barry Horowitz and Skip the Body Donna. So yeah, Barry Horowitz, a jobber. He had a gimmick in Global where he won a match and became Barry the Winner Horowitz. And you have Chris Candido and Tammy Sitch.
Barry Horowitz had been around a long time.
Yeah.
Barry Horowitz was a former Florida champion under the name Jack Hart.
Oh, yeah. We did Battle of the Belts, right.
And, you know, a lot of promotions is kind of a sign. You mentioned Global. There's Florida. Anytime Barry Horowitz, he may be talented, but anytime Barry Horowitz seems to get a push, it usually is a sign a promotion is not doing well. Whether that's fair or not, I couldn't say, but there's definitely a pattern there.
Yes.
And I think sort of like Hakushi, when the Body Donnas came in, I think there was a... Speaking of outfits, what is that outfit?
Pocket protector, yeah. Okay, so they decided his gimmick is he's Jewish and he's a geek. I say Jewish because his entrance music, I believe, at one point was Hava Nagila, which is, interesting. And for Chris Candido, you get that beat or whatever while Sonny cuts a promo on the crowd. Yes. Okay. So this was the lady, and remember, Sonny was the lady that Jim Cornette thought, oh well, she's a young Hillary Clinton. I don't know how you got here from there, Jim. You with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm just enjoying the Doink the Clown lights that the body done is.
Oh, well, yeah, they're fantastic. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, but, I mean, Sunny talking, that's drawing heat. Oh, here you go. I wasn't kidding, it's Hava Nagila.
I mean, I have no idea. I assume Barry, I mean, because of it, with the Jewish faith, if your mother is Jewish, then you're Jewish.
Yeah.
I'll
take your word for it.
I have no idea about Barry Horowitz's background at all. Mm-hmm. I don't recall him ever being so, maybe he just felt this way. I don't know. It's just.
They made him a nerd. I mean, you know, he's dressed like, yeah. Revenge of the Nerds, like, and they give him the music. The only thing they could have done, which would be more stereotypical, is to have him come out to dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay.
And if that's what he wants, then he can certainly do that. I don't know. But it just seems like, for example, when he was the winner in Global, it was about him being clueless because everyone knew that he lost all the time, and then he finally won. And now he's this overconfident person who doesn't see himself in the right light. And now, I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe this is fine. Maybe it's not. I guess it would depend on Barry's, if he's the one who pushed this. If not, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it. I mean, but Barry and Chris Candido are about the same size. And you know how Vince McMahon feels about, if you're a shorter wrestler, that's a strike against you in terms of moving up to a higher level on the card.
Ask Chad Gable.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Nope. Hey. But yeah, this was a thing in the summer of '95. This was a big feud. And Candido had he'd done a lot in Smoky Mountain. There we go. Up and over. Very much with the
By the way, Candido, one of my favorite Tony Orlando and Don songs.
Ah, yes. Also my favorite album from the Cars. Oh no. I thought for a second that Earl was going to say that Sonny threw in the towel, but nope.
Okay, why would you lost your charge the match? I don't understand that, but okay.
Well, it's boxing. If you throw in the towel, it's
right. But I don't know. I guess it was just supposed to be a distraction.
This was a riff on Mike Tyson and Peter McNeely. Apparently, there was a Mike Tyson fight. Okay. All right. So anyway, Sunny has given her man the advantage. Okay. All right. Well, we've done the jumping jacks. Okay. All right. Here we go. So I believe the plan at one point was to make Candido a baby face and to have Sonny be the Sonny work as an announcer or interview person or what have you. But they decided to put them together, and the rest is history.
Well, yeah, she did stuff as Tamara Murphy.
Tamara Murphy, yeah. I don't know. Does she look like a Murphy? Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know what she looks like, but mainly it's because I don't follow her on her OnlyFans or
whatever. Yeah,
well,
that's fair.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of those things that she looks like.
Yes. Barry. Oh, the fans are chanting for Barry. Hey. Well.
I mean, Horowitz has been wrestling a long time, early 80s, at least.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for a time, he was actually Bret Hart.
B-R-E-T-T, yeah. Well, I mean, in America, the other Bret Hart's in Canada. What's he going to do about it?
Yeah. Yep. Right. What are you going to do? Well, isn't that why Brett had to do, like, Buddy Hart or something like that one time?
I think that's correct, yeah.
Barry Bim is Bret Hart in the territory.
Okay, wow. All right, so, yep. I believe that's right. Okay, there we go. Aw, okay. Okay. Here we go. Nope. Yeah, but Barry Horowitz, you know, he'd been on WWF television for years, and he was, you know, he was a jobber to the stars. He was a high-level jobber, but, you know, but that was it. I mean, you'd see him, you'd see Reno Riggins. Trying to think of who the other, you know, other well-known enhancement guys were at this point.
But he had to pat himself on the back.
Yeah.
Do the pat on the back, and he got a little bit of a personality versus many of the other enhancement talents.
The Brooklyn Brawler. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
But, I mean, this would pretty much be it. Didn't they do, like, a Underdog Survivor Series match? And then that was pretty much it for what this is.
Yep. Oh, this is also the point where Bill Watts is supposed to be coming into the company. And he does come into the company with the idea that he's going to be, you know, the booker. And Vince McMahon promised, you know, and this is supposed to be starting this fall. Vince McMahon saying, "Oh, absolutely, I will not override your decisions." And he overrid Bill Watts' decision within like the first couple of months, and Bill left.
Yeah, he overrid every decision.
Yeah, well, that's Vince. But, you know, in time, Vince mellowed. Oh, wait, he didn't. No, not at all. Okay.
Well, and he looked great at the 25th anniversary of Hunter Hearst Helmsley and SmackDown. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have a lot of confidence and faith.
That's right. Yes. Up, oh, here we go. Oh, Luthez Press.
This is... The thing about this gimmick is, you know, this is like, he's doing like Jack LaLanne in like the 1950s and 60s. This is not even people, 1995.
Well, Jack LaLanne's a born heel. You know. Yeah, I know. I guess you're supposed to hate people who are in shape if you're a wrestling fan. Which makes no sense, actually. I don't know. Of course, I don't know who actually dresses like in outfits like Skip and Sonny have. So,
well, everybody came in. Everybody had an outfit. You had a look. You know, you had a logo, and you know, you had jumping jacks or push-ups. Like I said, you had a few signature moves and taunts, and everybody was kind of assigned those things. That was the way it was.
The box of gimmicks, allegedly.
And well, it is, and to a degree, you still have that.
Yeah. True. I mean, it's hard to believe that Jim Cornette ends up working for this company a year, you know, full time after in like less than a year later, because as Jim Cornette famously said, you know, his idea of a gimmick is, okay, your name is Chris Candido and you're a professional wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, Candido probably did best in ECW for that reason, even when he was the cruiserweight bully in WCW. I would argue that didn't
the cruiserweight
that
bully.
Wasn't great either.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and just because you don't fit in WWE doesn't mean you're bad or you don't have value in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody's meant for big blockbuster movies. No. Not everybody is meant for, you know, whatever the biggest night of television is on TV. It's okay to be, you know, at the CW level.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's or to be an art house director or Wes Anderson movies or something.
I don't know. From last I heard, the biggest night in television was whatever night NCIS is on, but I'm not sure. That or Sunday Night Football. I'm the wrong person to ask about that. All right, here we go. The pile driver. Oh, no. Oh, well. All right, here we go. Oh. Well, I mean, this is getting a lot of time. You know?
Boy, is it ever. This feels like a really long Superstars match.
Yep. Or a short Raw match. Oh, he's going up. Uh-oh. Sonny's going to interfere. Oh! That dirty rat. Oh, Sonny. How dare you. All right, up. Oh, Candido going for the... Are we getting the top rope superplex? Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, and here he comes. Hakushi's here to save the day, Jim.
Well, and you can tell he's got a sense of urgency because he's wearing the hat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. What does he want? Yeah, Jerry Lawler. What does he want? Yeah, I don't know, Jerry. Oh. All right. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen here, said somebody who's never watched wrestling before. Oh, that was different.
Yeah, right?
Hey, there you go.
I guess that counts as not interference.
He didn't touch anybody. And Barry Horowitz has now won 3 matches.
Well, remember the first time, didn't Jim Ross do the Horowitz wins?
Horowitz wins! Yep, he did.
Is that a baseball call? What was that?
No, that's just Jim Ross being Jim Ross.
No, I'm pretty sure that was a takeoff of, like, baseball or some famous call. Like,
well,
a
I mean, geez, the Giants win the pennant? The Giants win the pennant? That would have been 1951.
Well, then that would make sense. There you go.
Yeah, that's true. Fair enough. Oh, and he hugs Earl Hebner. There you go. Yay! All right.
There it is, the callback to Global, the winner, Barry Horowitz.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. All right. That is absolutely unbelievable. I think we're going to get to this one backstage bit, and then we'll call it a week here. Let's see. Yes. There's something backstage? Okay. Oh, Dean Douglas. That's right. I forgot. Time to vivify, Jim. Yep. I keep expecting him to say, "Lo, I am the genius and the world's smartest man."
It really is an update on the genius. That's yes. Really all it is. Yes.
And he winds up with wearing the same colors that the genius wore.
Yeah, basically same outfit.
Yep. As befitting a former ECW champion.
There's nothing new under the sun in WWE. Look at this technology, though.
Ah, the Telestrator.
Yeah, look at the monitor and that device.
And look, it's two giant balls. He's doing an ad for Manscaped. It's a travesty. It's a Travisham mockery.
It's weird that vivify is the word he uses, but okay.
Yep. Well, you don't want to use too many letters.
But he's got like an education degree. Wasn't he going to be
a teacher? He's a teacher, yeah. Of course, at one point he was going to quit wrestling and become a teacher. Actually, at several points he was supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. He gives the referee an F. Well, okay. Barry Horowitz is a slacker. Yeah. Okay. Oh, wait, Todd Pettengill standing by, excuse me. All right, well, let's get this in, too.
Is Todd Pettengill in quarantine? What's up with his hair? It's
really
long and kind of bushy.
Yes, it is.
Is he going to get product?
I 95. Oh, boy, it's... Oh, yeah, so talking about the history of the ladder match. Here we go.
Yep. Todd Pettengill looks like the world's oldest Monchichi.
That's a good call. Oh. Yes. Oh, let's talk to Shawn
Michaels. Famous ladder match.
Great ladder match, WrestleMania 10. Yep.
Are those wind chimes hanging off?
I think they are, yes.
What is that? Yep. Okay. I feel like hummingbirds are going to come by and start feeding off.
Yeah, friendship is out the window in this match. It's because it's a ladder match.
Yep. Jeez. Well, forget the ladders. Climb up those earrings. That would take longer.
Yep. Right. Yep. Yeah, this time it's Sean who holds the title and Razor's the challenger.
Yes. Hey, Sean, my car is stuck in the snow. Can you get out those earrings and wrap them around my tires, please?
Yeah.
By the way, with the summer coming, the Department of Transportation has outlawed those earrings putting on your tires.
That's right.
Rip up the roads.
Can't do that.
Thing.
Oh, goodness. Wild horses will not stop Shawn Michaels. No, but if wild horses grabbed hold of those earrings, you'd have problems.
Actually, you'd have a pretty good tow rope. You'd be probably pulling some Budweiser, I'm guessing, with the Clydesdales. Right. But, yeah.
Oh, boy. Thanks, Todd. Yeah, Todd Pettengill's going, well, at least I don't have earrings like that. All right, so we're going to stop it here. 55 minutes and 12 seconds. Boy, and that's a good place to stop it.
Listen to an honorable mention every Tuesday on your favorite podcast provider, courtesy of the Creative Control Network. Hosted by Jeff Schwartz and Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn, they cover the history of Ring of Honor wrestling from the promotion's humble beginnings to the present day, bringing every fan over the guardrail and behind the curtain with humor, respect, and honor. An honorable mention is presented by itsadvdproduct.com, your home for exclusive t-shirts and hoodies featuring signature lines from the show. Get the latest news on an honorable mention by following them on Facebook and Twitter at An Honorable Pod. An Honorable Mention with Jeff Schwartz and Shane Hagedorn, part of the Creative Control Network, every Tuesday on your favorite podcast providers.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. Because we're coming up on the women's title match. That's how we're going to kick things off next week. And let's see. We got that. We've got a casket match. And we've got Bret Hart fighting a dentist. So what more could you possibly ask for? And Jim, if you'd like to know more about Hakushi, Sean Waltman, Bob Holly, Triple H, or Billy Gunn, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, The Wrestling Observer, or many other fine wrestling sites. Do not head down to your local library without calling ahead. Jim?
Indeed, and don't forget, whether you are in quarantine or not, please take all safety precautions and be very careful with yourself, your friends, and those around you, and I don't know which is going to take longer, the next episode or Shawn Michaels earrings. Same way back time, same playback channel.
We'll be looking forward to that. And by the way, start coming up with ideas. Episode 300 is less than a month away. And we want to do something good or at least entertaining. So, yeah, come up with some thoughts. Until then, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.